Hello, and welcome to our program. My name is Alan Lai, and I will be reading from the Sporting News here on site into Sound Radio. Today's first story actually is from The Athletic. And I'm starting off with this one because it is of historical significance. In an article written by Brittany Giroli, Major League Baseball needed this. Jen Powell deserved it. By the time you read this, Jen Powell, who became the first female umpire in Major League Baseball's history on Saturday, will already be back in AAA, and the buzz of the national media attention and the celebratory champagne poured in paper Gatorade cups will have mostly subsided. There aren't many fancy glass options in the belly of baseball stadiums, though the no-frills celebration with more than a dozen family and friends following Game 2 of the doubleheader between the Atlanta Braves and Miami Marlins suits Powell, who has perfected the fine line of simultaneously understanding how vital her gender is and not wanting her ponytail to define her. Major League Baseball, in recent years, has had all-female broadcast teams and data analysts. It's seen women ascend to become general managers, scouts in the stands, and coaches on the field in full uniform. But never in the sport's 100-plus year history had a woman called balls and strikes in a regular season game until Powell raised her right arm at 1:38 p.m. Eastern Time Sunday and called a game-opening strike on Xavier Edwards. The ball was immediately procured and thrown back to the side for authentication, another slice of history in a weekend full of them. Powell donated her hat to the National Baseball Hall of Fame after Saturday's game. Sunday's ball will probably end up there, too. Powell, who has been in pro ball since 2016, is still uncomfortable living in a spotlight where rehabbing big leaguers wish her luck, security guards tell her they're pulling for her, and autograph requests have become a regular occurrence. She often makes her entire crew sign with her. "Go Braves and all," read a sign at Truist Park on Sunday. "But I'm here for Jen." Everything that 48-year-old Powell has done this past decade has made headlines, an unusual paradox in a profession where anonymity typically means you're doing the job right. How many other umpires find their promotions on a minor league scoreboard like Powell did at the New York Mets Syracuse affiliate? However, baseball badly needed Powell, a sport that boasts itself as a national pastime, one that is so rich in history, can sometimes be suffocated by it. It's been more than a decade since the NBA and NFL introduced female officials, and every other woman before Powell who tried to get promoted to Major League Baseball was run out of the game. Bernice Guerra, Christine Wren, Pam Postema, Teresa Cox Fairlady, Shanna Cook, and Rhea Corticio, the sport's last female umpire before Powell arrived, a group whom Powell counts as mentors and friends whose only crime was being ahead of their time. A female umpire was one of baseball's final barriers. However, the sport didn't just need a woman, it needed the right one. Powell is a baseball lifer, a former softball player who texts highlights of games to other umpires so they can break them down. She has a vigilant workout routine to keep up with the demands of a physical job. In the off-season, Powell writes umpire workbooks, participates in clinics, and paints one of her favorite things, the strike zone. For years, Powell has been viewed as baseball's best shot at a female umpire. When she was promoted to AAA in 2023, she was the only female above A-ball. Male-dominated professions don't change overnight. It would have been easy for baseball to fast-track her, to prop up Powell for positive press, and to quiet the discontent with, "A woman is here." To baseball's credit, it didn't. Powell has methodically moved up. She umpired more than 1,200 minor league games before getting the call. Like any successful woman in a male-dominated profession, she will be heavily scrutinized. There will be people who can't be convinced that she's here on merit. Fans who berate her for no reason other than her ponytail. Powell, it's worth noting, welcomes players and managers voicing their discontent with what she's doing on the field. MLB knows this. The league knows that every missed call Powell makes, like that first strike to Edwards, will bring a small, loud subset of the population out, convinced that Powell's every misstep is not because she's human, but instead because she's a woman. However, know something else, too. Powell, who lost her mom, Victoria, to an aneurysm at 13, can handle anything thrown at her on and off the field. She is, in the words of crew chief Chris Guccione, incredible at her job. A female who reached baseball's pinnacle because of her toughness and talent and because she has what those before her never did, support. This is one of the proudest moments I've been a part of in all my career, Guccione told reporters in Atlanta of working with Powell. I've been blessed with working playoffs. I've worked 2 World Series, All-Star Games, and this one is right up there. It gives me chills just thinking about it and the magnitude. I was just sitting here going, it just kind of hit me, the magnitude of this whole thing and how hard she's worked. If Powell's presence inspires women, one can only hope Guccione's words elicit a similar response in men. It's not hard to be an ally. Powell, who initially thought her gender precluded her from being an MLB umpire, is a visible sign of progress, her dream a significant step forward for the sport. Maybe someday, female umpires will be normal. Until then, Powell will keep pushing the ball forward, working and waiting for another chance at the big leagues. Baseball needed this. Powell deserved it. Going over to the Sporting News, in a story by Matt Sullivan titled, Former Astros star Alex Bregman shares message amid emotional return to Houston. The Houston Astros have seen a few of their franchise icons leave over the last few seasons. From George Springer and Carlos Correa to Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman. While Correa is back with the Astros, Bregman, for the first time, showed up in Houston as a member of the competition. It was an emotional return for the Astros and Bregman, and he shared a message on what he's looking forward to amid his return to Houston. Ian Brown of MLB.com shared Bregman's comments, which highlighted more than just his former teammates. Just seeing the guys, seeing the people who work at the stadium, seeing the fans and playing baseball, Bregman said, and I look forward to going out there, competing with the guys, and trying to get some wins. Bregman was looking forward to playing in front of the fans and seeing the stadium personnel again. He received a warm welcome and a standing ovation before his first at-bat, which he promptly launched a home run over the left field wall. It was a fitting return for Bregman, who's hit many such home runs in his career. Bregman hit a home run against his former team, which he helped lead to 2 World Series titles. Only Duke Snider has hit such a home run, as Bregman continues to build up an incredible legacy in MLB history. His emotional return to Houston resulted in a loss for the Red Sox as the Astros took the first game of a big series in Houston. With Christian Javier making his first start back with the Astros, a lot of the World Series team was back together in Houston on Monday. With the Astros up 1-0 in the 3-game series, Bregman and the Red Sox will look to even things up as Dustin May is on the mound for Boston and Spencer Arrighetti takes the bump for Houston. Bregman's return to Houston was an emotional one, and he made it memorable with his first at-bat home run to left field immediately after the Houston faithful gave the longtime Astros a standing ovation. Carlos Correa reveals favorite part about reuniting with Astros organization by Griffin Goodwin. Carlos Correa's return to the Houston Astros is among the major storylines of the 2025 MLB season. Another chapter of that story was written on Monday night as Correa played his first home game in Houston since 2021. The game, which resulted in a 7-6 victory for the Astros, was also an important one for third baseman Alex Bregman, who made his return to Daikin Park for the first time since signing with the Boston Red Sox this offseason. But for Correa, it represented something he previously believed he would not experience for the rest of his professional baseball career. "I never thought I would get the chance to put on this uniform again. I'm blessed that I get to do this again in front of all the fans here in Houston," Correa told reporters. "This is a chance that I will never take for granted. I'm going to go out there and give it my best every day." Ahead of Monday's game, Correa also revealed to reporters what he has enjoyed most about being a member of the Astros organization. "The best part about being back with the Astros is being able to play with Jose Altuve again," Correa said via The Athletic's Chandler Rome. Altuve and Correa had played on opposite sides of second base for the entirety of the latter's MLB career, beginning in 2015 and lasting until he left for Minnesota before the 2022 season. The duo experienced plenty of success together with the Astros, winning a World Series championship over the LA Dodgers in 2017 and nearly claiming another title against the Washington Nationals 2 years later, and combining for 9 All-Star game trips, 2 Gold Glove awards, and 5 Silver Slugger awards. The Astros, with Correa and Altuve in tow, are primed for another postseason run, but they first will need to maintain their pace ahead of a resurgent Seattle Mariners squad looking to claim the top spot in the AL West. Padres' Robert Suarez breaks silence on potentially tipping pitches to Red Sox, by Matt Sullivan. During the San Diego Padres series against the Boston Red Sox, a moment from the TV broadcast went viral, depicting a Red Sox coach holding a tablet that allegedly showed Padres closer Robert Suarez tipping his pitches. After the series, Dennis Lynn of The Athletic shared Suarez's comments on potentially tipping his pitches to the Red Sox. Suarez was unbothered by the potential, expressing faith in the Padres to let him know if he was tipping his pitches or not. "Regardless," Suarez said, "I think the coaches would have been able to let me know, hey, there's something that they might be picking up. I think, regardless, even if it would have been after that game, they would have told me, hey, make that adjustment." The faith that Suarez has in the coaching staff is a great sign, but it also highlights how unbothered Suarez was by the Red Sox picking up on his pitches. But Suarez's outing against Boston might have been affected by him tipping the pitches. He blew the save, allowing the Red Sox to tie the game in the 9th inning, forcing the game into extra innings, where the Padres came out on top on a walk-off from Ramon Laureano. While the Padres won, the concern over Suarez tipping his pitches was real based on how he pitched that outing. This year, the All-Star closer has 33 saves, the most in baseball, and he has a 3.22 ERA. But he has 5 blown saves on the year, with his latest coming against the Red Sox, who allegedly figure out Suarez's pitches, resulting in a tied game in the 9th inning. His next outing against the San Francisco Giants was a lot better, securing his 33rd save and getting a clean 3 outs to secure a nice win for the Padres. Even though the Red Sox might have picked up on his pitches, Suarez isn't overly concerned. He has trust in the Padres organization to point out if he's tipping his pitches or not. Sitting 1 game back of the LA Dodgers for the NL West, Suarez will be integral to the team's chances to surpass the Dodgers and potentially secure a home playoff series in October. Fortunately, the concerns over his tipped pitches seem to have diminished after the Giants couldn't manage anything off him, but it's something to monitor, especially as the Padres pursue a deep postseason run. Dodgers' Shohei Ohtani chasing Roger Maris, Alex Rodriguez, Babe Ruth for home run record, by Andrew Hughes. Los Angeles Dodgers star Shohei Ohtani is within striking distance of Roger Maris on the leaderboard for home runs in a player's first 2 years with the team. Ohtani has 96 and counting during his 2024 and 2025 campaigns with the Dodgers. Maris had 100 during his first 2 years with the New York Yankees. If and when Ohtani passes Maris, he'll be in striking distance of the Texas Rangers' first 2 years of three total, with Alex Rodriguez at 109 and Babe Ruth with 113 for his first years with the Yankees. It'll be a difficult task to overtake A-Rod and the great Bambino, but Ohtani has consistently made the difficult look menial. The only challenge he couldn't overcome was making the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim a playoff team. While his career has been mostly ups on the field, Ohtani has found himself in a handful of controversies off of it, the worst being a $240 million lawsuit where he and his agent are being accused of exploiting their celebrity leverage to destabilize and ultimately dismantle plaintiff's role in the project for no reason other than their own financial self-interest. The lawsuit's details don't paint Ohtani in a positive light. The two-way star could use home run history to deflect from these issues and the fact that the Dodgers paid for a pitcher hitter who may not pitch much longer. Yankees bring back former catcher as new free agent contract signing by Billy Hyen. You can never have enough depth behind the plate. The New York Yankees took that to heart on Tuesday as they signed a former catcher of theirs to a free agent contract. Rob Brantley is returning to the Yankees organization after spending the 2021 and 2022 seasons in pinstripes. He's been assigned to AAA Scranton Wilkes-Barre, according to MLB.com's Brian Hoke. Brantley most recently played at the MLB level earlier this season for the Marlins, where he went 3-for-7 in three games for a cool .429 average. The lefty swinging catcher turned 36 years old in July and is doing what he can to hang on to his baseball career. Overall, he has played in 10 MLB seasons and in 140 games with a .226 average. Brantley has suited up for the Marlins, White Sox, Rays, Phillies, and Giants, in addition to the Yankees. In 2021 with New York, Brantley played in six MLB games and went 3-for-20 at the plate. In 2022, he made it into just a single game and went 1-for-3. At AAA Jacksonville this season, Brantley had played in 12 games and was hitting .359 with a .980 OPS. The Yankees were speculated to potentially trade a catcher at the MLB trade deadline, but that didn't happen. They've still got Austin Wells, Ben Rice, and even J.C. Ascara, who has shuttled back and forth from AAA after all the deadline moves. Brantley, at best, is probably fourth in the pecking order, but he's a familiar face to the organization at a position that it's good to have some trusted reserves at, just in case. Tigers in Jeopardy of Losing Former Yankee Star Gleyber Torres by John Conahan. Detroit Tiger second baseman Gleyber Torres entered the 2024-25 offseason with some questions about his future. It was evident that he wasn't going to return it to the New York Yankees, but many questioned where he could land or what his deal might look like. Throughout parts of Torres' career, he seemed to be one of the better second basemen in baseball, and he's proven that again during the 2025 campaign. Barring anything drastic happening over the last few months, Torres now looks to be in a great position to get paid this winter, and that could impact the Tigers. According to MLB.com, there's even a chance they could lose him. MLB.com noted that it won't be easy for the Tigers to keep him in town, something the front office has to consider. Batting .271 with a career high .368 on-base percentage and 13 home runs, Torres has had quite the bounce-back year since joining Detroit on a one-year $15 million deal. He appears to be a good long-term fit for the first-place Tigers, but he's likely to seek a multi-year contract that probably won't be cheap. Plenty of other clubs could use a good second baseman, so it won't be easy for the Tigers to keep Torres, but they'll probably try, they wrote. Depending on who the Tigers call up over the next few weeks to months, or even over the next year, it might not be too big of an issue to lose Torres. However, losing a right-handed bat with the 120 OPS plus when the team is already lacking right-handed juice would be very tough to justify. Spencer Torkelson makes Tigers history with this insane stat by Christopher Damon. It hasn't been done since Miguel Cabrera and Victor Martinez from 2014 to 2016 until now. Spencer Torkelson joined exclusive company by becoming the first Tiger in nearly 10 years to record a pair of 25 homer seasons over a three-year span, the team announced before last night's game. How did Torkelson celebrate? By hitting a go-ahead homer in Detroit's 2-1 win over the Chicago White Sox on Monday. He now has 26 home runs and 66 RBI this season, with a .244, .332, .488 slash line. He also hit a career-high 31 homers in 2023. With lofty expectations as a number one overall pick in the 2020 draft, Torkelson struggled his first few seasons in the major leagues. His batting average was just .203 his rookie year in 2022, when he played 110 games for a Tigers team that disappointed with a 66-96 record. He seemed to break out a year later with 31 homers and 94 RBI, but his struggles returned the following season. As Detroit made the postseason for the first time since 2014, Torkelson hit just .219, .295, .374 on the year, and he was even optioned to AAA Toledo, where he played 58 games. Cabrera hit 25 homers in 2014 before exploding with 38 2 years later. He ended his career with 511 home runs, which is tied for the 25th most in MLB history. Martinez matched Cabrera by achieving the feat in the same time frame, hitting 32 homers in 2014 and 27 in 2016. That's good company for Torkelson, who now shares a stat with a pair of Tigers legends who made a combined 17 All-Star appearances. Detroit continues its series against the White Sox in Chicago tonight. MLB writer reveals five reasons why Guardians can overtake Tigers in AL Central by Matt Sullivan. The Cleveland Guardians were sellers, albeit minor ones, at the 2025 trade deadline. They were on the outside looking in, sitting significantly far back, and with the Emmanuel Klaas investigation, things were bleak in Cleveland. But despite selling and at one point being 15 and a half games back for the AL Central on August 12th, the Guardians are only 6.5 games back of the Detroit Tigers and one game back for a spot in AL wildcard. Cleveland has been hot, and now they're not too far out of a postseason spot. Will Leitch of MLB.com listed five reasons why the Guardians cannot just make the postseason, but also overtake the Tigers to complete the biggest comeback in MLB history. The first reason why Cleveland can catch Detroit goes hand in hand with his fourth point. Not only are the Guardians getting hot at the right time, but the Tigers are cooling off lately. But it should be noted that the Guardians have the best record in the American League at 21-8 since they fell 8 games under .500 on July 6th, Leitch writes. Only the Brewers have been better in all of baseball during that span. While Cleveland has been hot since July 6th, the same can't be said for Detroit. At the same time, the Tigers have gone 13-17, floundering to 69-51, and no longer hold the top record in the AL or baseball as they did earlier in the year. Another factor behind the Guardians' ascension has been the bullpen's dominance, even with Klaas out of the picture. They somehow have the best bullpen ERA in baseball since July 7th at 2.26, Leitch writes. Cade Smith has been great, while Nick Enright, who is receiving cancer treatments amid his strong season, Eric Sabrowski, Jacob Junis, and Colby Allard have all contributed to a strong bullpen lately for the Guardians. The third reason why the Guardians can turn the corner and surpass the Tigers is thanks to their schedule. They close out the year with six of their final 12 games against the Tigers. If they're close by then, which is favorable for their schedule, the Guardians could pass the Tigers with a dominant series. While they have a tough September, the Guardians being close to Detroit for these final series will put a lot of pressure on the Tigers. Lastly, one of the more important points is that the Tigers' pitching has imploded. Detroit has a 5.47 ERA since July 9th, which is only better than the Washington Nationals and Colorado Rockies, two teams at the bottom of baseball. Even staff ace Tarek Skubal is struggling with a 3.68 ERA over his last five starts. Casey Mize hasn't been great, with a 7.32 ERA in his last five outings. They did add Charlie Morton and Chris Paddock at the deadline, but neither has been incredible for Detroit so far. While it's a massive uphill battle for the Guardians, sitting just 6.5 games back of the Tigers with a little over a month and a half to go, there's reason to believe in the Guardians' chances of surpassing Detroit. If they did, it'd be the largest deficit a team has overcome in the division, beating out the 1978 New York Yankees, who were 14 games down. Cleveland was 15.5 games back and in fourth place. But now, first place is within grasp, and the Guardians look like a team that can leapfrog the Tigers to complete the largest comeback in MLB history. A lot needs to go the Guardians' way, but as Leitch laid out, there's reason for optimism in Cleveland. You're listening to Sports on Sight Into Sound Radio. You can listen to Sight Into Sound on HD4 on 88.7 KUHF, channel 8.5 on TV, streaming on your computer or smartphone, as well as your smart speaker. You can also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at sightintosound.org. We are Sight Into Sound Radio since 1967. Toronto Blue Jays chasing rare MLB history, not done for a decade, by Billy Hyen. The Toronto Blue Jays finished the 2024 season in last place in the AL East Division. Given the prowess of the rest of their divisional foes, it would have been tough to see Toronto making a huge rebound this season. But here we are, the middle of August, and the Blue Jays are in first place. They've even had a gigantic turnaround since late May, when they were 8 games out. It's been a special season in Toronto. If the Blue Jays can keep it going, they can join a short list in MLB history. Only 13 times in a divisional era has a team gone from worst one season to first the next season in a division, per MLB.com. The Blue Jays would be the 14th and the first since the 2015-2016 Boston Red Sox. MLB.com did an in-depth breakdown of the situation, and it turns out some of Toronto's leading contributors just got a lot better this season. Addison Barger, Alejandro Kirk, and George Springer are three of the 8 most improved hitters in MLB from last season to this season by the analytical stat WOBA+. The Blue Jays sent a lot of players out at last season's trade deadline, but the returns for those guys haven't been crucial. Offseason acquisitions haven't really been the key either. The biggest of those, Anthony Santander, has been injured most of the season. This is really just a team that grew into its own, continued to improve, and uncovered a swagger that allows it to keep winning close games and shutting down its divisional foes. There's still work to be done, but it's hard to bet against the Blue Jays right now. They're playing too well to do anything but believe in them. MLB announces big news not seen since 2015 by Rodney Nupple. Major League Baseball is in the dog days of August as the summer heat rises into 30 cities across the country. But that is not keeping fans away from heading to the stadium. In what was the final weekend of the summer for many, with kids going back to school in many places across the country, Major League Baseball announced that attendance for the past weekend of games was the highest for an August weekend since 2015. Nearly 1.6 million fans attended games at the stadium from August 8th through 10th. As the pennant races heat up, with three wild card teams from both the National League and American League, more teams appear to be in the race. Both the National League West and American League West have divisional races within a game. The National League Central has a team that has won 10 straight games for the second time this season. Aaron Judge, Cal Raleigh, Shohei Ohtani, and Kyle Schwarber are notables putting on a show at stadiums across the country. Raleigh leads all of Major League Baseball with 45 home runs, but Ohtani and Schwarber keep moving up the list with 42 each. Judge is looking to hold off others for the top batting average in MLB, as he is hitting .336. Both the New York teams are struggling, but meaningful games will keep fans going through the turnstiles in both the Bronx and Queens. The Yankees and Red Sox are within 1.5 games of each other, which will raise interest. Big market Chicago Cubs are in the playoffs race and have young stars that fans want to see. Look for attendance to stay on the rise as the season moves along these final 6 weeks. With talk of a lockout in 2027, it's a good day to be a fan of Major League Baseball and head to the old ballpark. USA Today details betrayal in Dodgers star Shohei Ohtani's $240 million lawsuit. L.A. Dodgers star Shohei Ohtani was hit with a poorly timed $240 million lawsuit on Monday relating to a real estate transaction that fell apart. The lawsuit alleges Ohtani and his agent, quote, exploited their celebrity leverage to destabilize and ultimately dismantle plaintiff's role in the project for no other reason than their own financial self-interest, unquote, per the Associated Press. USA Today's Scooby Axon obtained other details, and they don't paint Ohtani and his agent as good faith business partners. The lawsuit was filed in Hawaii Circuit Court on August 8th and obtained by USA Today Sports. It says that Ohtani's agent, Nez Bilello, wanted assurances from Kevin J. Hayes Sr., a developer who has been in business for 40 years, and real estate broker Tomoko Matsumoto before they demanded their business partner, Kingsbarn Realty Capital, a company based in Las Vegas, remove both from the real estate deal, Axon wrote. The defense labeled the case an abuse of power. This case is about abuse of power. Defendants use threats and baseless legal claims to force a business partner to betray its contractual obligations and strip plaintiffs of the very project they conceived and built. Defendants must be held accountable for their actions, not shielded by fame or behind-the-scenes agents acting with impunity. Plaintiffs bring this suit to expose defendants' misconduct and to ensure that the rules of contract, fair dealing, and accountability apply equally to all, celebrity or not, the lawsuit states. This is either one hell of a smear campaign or the beginning of a potential PR downturn for the head and shoulders above best player in Major League Baseball. Ohtani's previous scandal, where his interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara, was sentenced to 57 months in prison for stealing $17 million from Ohtani's personal bank accounts to cover gambling debts, involved another person making mistakes using his resources. This time around, Ohtani is directly involved. He'll undoubtedly take the heat, including a massive financial penalty, if he's found guilty of any wrongdoing. More details can either prove Ohtani's innocence or send him to the court of public opinion's gulag. Guardian Stephen Kwan receives brutally honest review amid recent struggles by Matt Sullivan. The Cleveland Guardians are in the middle of a strong stretch, winning 21 of their last 30 games. They've shrunk the Detroit Tigers' AL Central lead to just 6.5 games after at one point being 15.5 games back of Detroit. However, while the Guardians are hot, their hot stretch isn't thanks to one of the best players on the roster, as Guardians' three-time Gold Glove outfielder Stephen Kwan has struggled a lot lately. Matthew Schmidt of Sports Illustrated highlighted Kwan's struggles and questioned whether Kwan is becoming a problem for the Guardians. Based on his offensive production, Kwan has been an issue for the Guardians. In August, Kwan is hitting .195 over 41 at-bats in 9 games. He has 8 hits, 5 runs scored, 1 double, 1 RBI, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts, and a .434 OPS in this span. His offensive regression is stark and is a concern for Schmidt. This is definitely concerning for Cleveland, Schmidt writes, both in terms of its chances of making the postseason this year and for its future as a whole. Why? Because you will absolutely have to start wondering if it's worth paying Kwan a major money over the long haul if this is what will keep happening to his bat. At 27 years old, Kwan is still an elite defender and could win the Gold Glove in left field for the fourth time in his career. But with his offensive regression in the second half of 2025, there are real concerns over his long-term viability offensively. The Guardians held on to Kwan through the trade deadline, despite fielding offers from multiple teams. If his offensive production doesn't turn around, his trade value will be lower, and yet, Kwan will still likely demand a big payday once he's a free agent. Some hitters can struggle at the plate while still hitting the occasional home run. Kwan is not a home run hitter, severely diminishing his offensive upside if his average is low. Kwan could still turn things around and put these concerns to rest. But with his free agency just 2.5 years away, there's a lot more discussion to be had about his future in Cleveland. While Schmidt doesn't outright call for Kwan's trade, it is something the Guardians already considered when Kwan was playing significantly better than he is now. His recent struggles haven't been as prominent thanks to the Guardians slowly closing the gap with the Tigers. But come the end of the year, there might be more discussions needed to be had about Kwan's future with the team. For the fan-favorite left fielder, those will be difficult conversations. But for the future of the franchise, it might be wise to prepare for a future without him, especially with his struggles since the start of August. Yankees Giancarlo Stanton is closing in on the Hall of Fame by Billy Hyen. There will be those who immediately feel odd about this, somehow feel like Giancarlo Stanton isn't a Hall of Famer. But if the New York Yankees slugger continues on his current track, and not even for all that much longer, he's almost a no-doubt selection. It all comes down to one magic number, 500. Stanton has 440 home runs and counting. There hasn't been a player who failed to make the Hall of Fame with 500 homers that wasn't linked to steroid usage. Stanton has never had such a link. He has always been one of the biggest, stronger players on every field he has ever played on, dating back to his days growing up in California. There are probably a couple reasons Stanton doesn't feel like a Hall of Famer to his critics. For one, he broke in with the Marlins, who were miserable a lot more often than they were great. And two, he came up as Mike Stanton and pulled off the name switch to Giancarlo midway through his career. That can make those early seasons of prodigious power feel like even more of a distant memory. But this is a guy who has won an MVP award with a magical 59 homer, 132 RBI season in 2017. He has a career OPS of .871. He has always had a quality walk rate, and while it's not obvious now after so many injuries, Stanton was once a quality corner outfielder. Right now, Stanton is 35. He'll turn 36 in November. He's been revitalized a bit this offseason after missing the first half with elbow problems. He's batting .281 with 11 homers in 41 games. The biggest risk to Stanton not getting to 500 home runs is injuries. He clearly still has prodigious power, enough to make him a worthy DH for most teams in the league. Even if he hits only 6 homers the rest of this season, that would put him at .446 heading into next year. From there, he'd need to average 18 home runs over the next 3 seasons to come to get to 500. That's not hard to fathom, especially if he gets one more healthy 25 to 30 homer season in there. It's not a sure thing, but all Stanton has to do is hit 60 more home runs. For a guy who has already hit 440, that seems like an achievable feat. Astros closer Josh Hader awaiting test results due to shoulder discomfort by Christopher Damon. When it comes to injuries, the Houston Astros can't seem to get a break. 13 players, including star outfielder Yordan Alvarez, were on the injured list entering last night's game versus the Boston Red Sox. Now, all-star closer Josh Hader is awaiting test results due to shoulder discomfort, per MLB.com's Brian McTaggart. He wasn't available for last night's game. He walked in today and he was doing his plyometrics before doing his throwing program and just did not feel right, Astros manager Joe Espada said, per McTaggart. We went ahead and got some testing done, and we're waiting on the results and should know something more tomorrow. Hader last pitched against the Yankees on Friday when he threw a season-high 36 pitches in 2 innings. He warmed up toward the end of Sunday's game, but never took the mound. The lefty pitcher is one of the best closers in the league, boasting a 2.05 ERA over 48 games this year. Per McTaggart, he set a club record this season by converting his first 25 save chances. Hader ranked 2nd in saves among American League relievers entering yesterday. The news comes just after Houston offered a positive update on another star, Alvarez, who's been on the injured list since May 5th with right-hand inflammation. He was reported to take on-field batting practice on Saturday for the first time, per club. The Astros weren't able to acquire a reliever at the trade deadline, but they signed Eniel De Los Santos to a major league contract last week. He made his debut on Monday and threw a scoreless inning. Houston currently sits atop the American League West at 67-52, just 1 game ahead of the surging Seattle Mariners. Mets target 56-homer Japanese superstar as the next New York signing as Yankee rumors swirl, by Billy Hyen. There could be a battle of New York looming for a legendary Japanese slugger. The New York Yankees have long been rumored to be a landing spot for Munetaka Murakami. Now, the Mets have entered the picture. Mets President of Baseball Operations David Stearns was in Japan on Tuesday to watch Murakami play. Murakami is likely to be made available at the end of the 2025 NPB season. He's a Japanese superstar who holds his league's single-season home run record for a native player, having hit 56 in 2022. The Athletic's Jim Bowden wrote this about Murakami earlier in the season. Murakami profiles as a 240 to 260 type hitter in MLB with legitimate 30 home run power. Defensively, he's below average at third base and adequate at first base. He's also played some left field this season for the first time in his career. Murakami is 25 years old, just entering his conceptual prime. He has spent his entire professional career in Japan playing for the Yakult Swallows. Murakami has been slowed by injuries this season and has 5 home runs in 26 games. Overall, in his NPB career, Murakami has hit 227 homers in 849 games and batted .270. His career on-base percentage is .394, thanks to a very strong walk rate, giving him a 943 OPS in NPB play. The Mets, if anything, have too many third basemen in the upper reaches of their organization. But with DH in a National League now, and with Pete Alonso on an expiring contract at first base, there is at least the possibility of there being an opening for Murakami. Stearns flew to the other side of the world to see him. The Mets certainly at least want to see what Murakami has to offer. Astros' Framber Valdez gets $180 million contract prediction amid a questionable future by John Conahan. At some point, the Houston Astros have to keep some of their top players around. While the Astros are once again one of the top teams in Major League Baseball, it would be tough to justify allowing Framber Valdez to walk. One could argue that he's set to turn 32 years old, but the reality of the situation is that Valdez is still one of the better starters in Major League Baseball, and that's been evident throughout the year with his 2.97 ERA and 1.16 WHIP. The left-hander also has 145 strikeouts in 145 and two-thirds innings, and has been a workhorse throughout his career. Over the past 4 years, Valdez has thrown in at least 176 and a third innings since 2021. That should get him paid, which could put the Astros in a tough position. According to MLB trade rumors, the deal could come between $150 to $180 million. Were it not for the fact that Valdez will turn 32 in November, he'd be the number two free agent on this ranking, uncomfortably projected to be a $200 million contract. As it stands, he'll be angling to become just the fourth pitcher to secure even a five-year deal in free agency, beginning with his age 32 season. Contract tracker link. A four-year deal for Valdez would surely clock in well over $100 million, but he should be expected to land 5 years and will have a real chance to join Zach Greinke as the only 32-year-old starter in recent memory to reel in 6 years. A deal in the $150 to $180 million range shouldn't be a surprise, even after he inevitably rejects a qualifying offer, Steve Adams wrote. A six-year deal for Valdez would take him to about his age 38 season, where he'd likely be deciding to hang them up sometime either right after that or at the conclusion of the deal. However, even with the expectation that his numbers would drop as he ages, there's reason to believe this deal makes sense for the Astros. Injury update on Tigers' $15 million All-Star raises concerns. By Torin Flores. After signing a one-year, $15 million deal with the Detroit Tigers in December of 2024, Alex Cobb was supposed to be another key addition to the starting rotation that could help in a World Series push. Things haven't gone as planned. Cobb, 37, is yet to make his Tigers debut this season. A left hip injury that was discovered during spring training led to the 2023 All-Star landing on the 60-day injured list. At that time, Cobb was still supposed to make a return to the Tigers this season. Recent news shows that this doesn't seem to be the case. Hip injuries have been nothing new for Alex Cobb. Among the large list of setbacks in his 14-year career is surgery for an impingement in his right hip in 2019, but now he's finding inflammation on the other opposite side. After receiving multiple injections to address the hip discomfort, there is a concern for the pitcher's long-term health after his baseball career is over. Whatever happens, Cobb said he will eventually need a hip procedure to ensure he can live a normal, mobile life, Cody Stavenhagen of the Athletic wrote. The current goal for Cobb and the Tigers is that he'll be able to make a return for Detroit in the back half of the season, maybe using the 37-year-old during the team's hopeful postseason push in October. What dictates success at the end of the year is me knowing I did everything I could, Cobb said. If that means pitching scoreless innings late in September and into October, great. I'll be very thrilled with that. But I'll be able to lay down peacefully at night if I know that I gave everything I had, the Tigers pitcher told The Athletic. Although an injury like this could take a toll on a player's mental health, it's uplifting to see that Alex Cobb is still doing everything he can to get back to the mound. Milwaukee Brewers make MLB history as 10th team with record streaks, by Billy Hyatt. The Milwaukee Brewers are the best team in baseball. In fact, their record is 5 games ahead of any other team in MLB. It's an incredible story of roster building coupled with some good fortune and some brilliant vibes. It's also a story of history. On Monday night, the Brewers won their 10th consecutive game. It marks their second double-digit win streak of the season. And in the divisional era, only 10 teams have ever had 2 such streaks in the same season. The others, the 1969 Astros, 1969 Mets, 1977 Royals, 1978 Pirates, 2001 Cardinals, 2013 Braves, 2015 Blue Jays, and 2019 Astros. It's a fascinating assortment of teams because they didn't all become champions, but they all had special regular seasons. The Brewers, of course, will be hoping this persistent winning translates to October. Milwaukee has never won a World Series. The Brewers did make it to 1 World Series back in 1982 when they were an American League club. They lost that year to the St. Louis Cardinals. The NL Central race has been taken over by the Brewers after the Chicago Cubs held the division lead for much of the season. The Brew crew just won't slow down. They've won big and by walk-off, with pitching and with hitting. Every level of the ball club is contributing, even manager Pat Murphy and his viral pocket pancake eating. This is what a winning baseball team looks like. The Brewers hope that's true 2 months from now, too. Cardinals' Ole Marmol makes perplexing Jordan Walker decision, frustrating fans, by Matt Sullivan. The St. Louis Cardinals are playing solid baseball as of late, with the team sitting just 3 games back of the 3rd and final NL wildcard spot. Coming off series wins over the Chicago Cubs and LA Dodgers, a matchup against the Colorado Rockies looked tantalizing for the team. But ahead of the series opener, Cardinals manager Ole Marmol decided not to play the red-hot Jordan Walker, electing to play Lars Nootbaar in the outfield instead. While the Cardinals ended up winning 3-2, Nootbaar's 0-3 didn't help the team much. When the lineup was announced, multiple Cardinals fans expressed their frustration with Marmol, including one calling for him to be fired, and another fan criticizing Marmol for sitting Walker, who was on a hot streak amid the team's youth movement. Jordan Walker has been our best hitting outfielder for a month now, one fan said. Victor has been terrible, but he plays center. Lars has been terrible, and Jordan has a better OPS than either Herrera or Burley. But we can't find a spot for him? Since Walker's return to the lineup on July 18th, across 21 games and 74 at-bats, he's hitting .311 with a .787 OPS. While the home runs are yet to come, he's been one of the best hitters for St. Louis over the last month. In August, across 9 games, he's hitting .321 with a .750 OPS. While, ironically, Walker doesn't walk much at all, he's been one of the team's best hitters as of late. For Marmol to bench him is a perplexing decision. One fan questioned, what else does the kid have to do? Walker should have done enough to warrant consistent starts, and yet Marmol benched him in favor of Nootbaar, who could be traded in the offseason. At just 23 years old, Walker is one of the key pieces the Cardinals need to get going. If he can reach his potential at the plate, then the Cardinals would have an incredible outfielder under control through the 2029 season. His career OPS is just .707, but his recent performances are very encouraging and something worth building on. but Marmol's benching of Walker, even for just a game, has drawn criticism from Cardinals fans and risks Walker falling off his hot streak. It's a frustrating decision for Marmol, as Walker's development is huge for the team, and his benching could halt his hot streak and hurt his confidence long term. We've come to the end of our program. I have been reading from the Sporting News. I'm Alan Lai, and this has been a production of Sight into Sound Radio, Houston, Texas.